Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, the highest value hunting brand, available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers, and at huntworthgear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and Waupaca. They are the highest rated hearing health care clinic in Wisconsin. ProfHearingCare.com. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get some last minute bow season prep and learn about the Whitetail Fix TV show and the World Muskie Hunt. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins us from his home in Wisconsin Rapids. Jeff, well, happy Labor Day weekend. That's a weekend off for a lot of people, but you and I are working.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not, right? That's just kind of the MO, and work is probably a loose term for either one of us, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had a real job since I quit teaching. I mean, yeah, TV and radio, it's a lot of fun. It is. I don't keep track of the hours. If I did, I would be very disappointed about what I pay
your
myself.
Pay rate?
Yeah, exactly. But last weekend you were in North Dakota for the National Walleye Tour Championship. How did that go? Who won?
Isaac Lockich won, young man who I've had across the stage many, many times, won the National Walleye Tour. He led from day one all the way through, didn't even catch a full 15-fish limit. He had 4 fish on second day, but he had such a lead after day one that it didn't matter. And then he really walked away with it on the final day. So it was cool to see. I mean, I've watched his career continue to grow, and he told me on the phone after this championship, he says, I know nobody has won the National Walleye Tour Championship and the World Walleye Championship, but I'm qualified for both, and so my next goal is to win the World Walleye Championship at Devil's Lake coming up in October, which he's qualified for and has the opportunity to, and if anybody's going to be able to do it, it certainly could be him.
Well, good for him and good luck to him. Now, you are done with the National Walleye Tour, right? But that's not the end of your events.
Yeah, so the National Walleye Tour, our time as operations for them is done. They're moving into having their own tournament director, own MC, hired in-house to Bass Pro Shops and Outdoor Teamworks. And so we move on. You know, we do this for a number of different organizations, including Mercury. We've done it for Sturgeon Bay Open Bass Tournament, where we've run the events for them. And that was our role with the National Walleye Tour. Masters Walleye Circuit continues. My role is shifting to National Tournament Director for the Bass Federation, which doesn't include a ton of travel, but it does include a lot more phone calls and logistics organization with TBF state presidents across the country. And I welcome it. It'll be fun.
Well, good. So I hope you get some time off this fall to do a little hunting and fishing yourself.
Yeah, there's semifinals going on till the first week of November, and I've already talked to that state president and said, that particular weekend, if I don't answer right away, it's because you won't get a phone call till after it gets dark by me.
Yeah, very good. Well, I was a past hunter guide at the World Muskie Hunt last weekend up in Lake Tomahawk. This was the 50th annual hunt. And we'll hear more about the history and future of this event a little later in the show. It's not cutthroat competitive. It's a lot of fun, and I've been involved on and off since 2002 when I was a contestant on the Crestliner team. And since then, I've guided past contestants who come back every year. Not all of them come back every year, but if you do, you're welcome to fish for 3 days instead of 2 days for the contestants. And it's an invitational event. It's patterned after the Wyoming governor's one-shot antelope hunt. You can play once as a contestant, then come back as much as you want. I fished 3 days on lakes in Vilas and Oneida counties, and my third past hunter, Ron Harches, caught a 39.5-inch muskie with me on Saturday when it rained off and on all day, so we were on the board. We didn't win anything, but that fish hit a Dr. Evil topwater bait that Dan Groppengeiser gave me when I fished with him a month ago on the Wisconsin River. And we had a great time, and all told, the contestants and hunters caught 42 muskies up to 49.5 inches long. So it was a good weekend for sure.
Well.
So you've heard about all the dead deer in southeast Wisconsin, right? The probably EHD caused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Probably thousands that we don't know.
Yeah. They say 900 reported, and some of that may be what they call over-reporting. I guess that might mean two neighbors reporting the same deer, but either way, a lot of them, and mostly in Washington County, I guess, but probably not just there. And, of course, a few dead cows and calves and even hunting dogs in northern Wisconsin. The DNR sharing reports of wolf attacks almost daily now. I get them in my feed, and I imagine you see them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do any ATV, UTV riding yourself?
No, just around here, with only having the ATV and the newer, riding laws. We don't do a whole lot of, family riding or anything like that. I just take it around and pull deer out of the woods or trees or whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I have not been riding much since I lost the opportunity to drive that Honda that I had for years. But for folks who are into that, the DNR and other law enforcement officers will be patrolling trails and routes looking for illegal and unsafe operations like no safety equipment, OWI violations, speeding, and other stuff. You know, as of this week, Wednesday, there have been 31 fatalities and 66 non-fatal accidents on ATVs and UTVs in Wisconsin this year. They're calling this the Think Smart Before You Start campaign. So bottom line, stay sober, ride safely, wear your helmet, and don't pull a trailer full of kids. And for goodness sake, watch out for the other guy, because that's the one that gets you in trouble for sure. Well, coming up, J.C. Chamberlain offers early season bow hunting advice. John Farrow talks about the World Muskie Hunt. And Huntworth Gear pro staffer Ernie DeSantis tells us about the new season of his TV show, Whitetail Fix. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Madison Outdoors is brought to you always by Pappas Trading Post, Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer, located on State Highway 14, that's just west of Arena, and about a half hour west of Madison. And you can find them on the web, too, at PappasTradingPost.com. And joining us once again, the week before bow season, almost said gun season there, wildlife biologist and Trading Post archery guy, J.C. Chamberlain. Well, J.C., thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Yeah, as always, it's a pleasure to be back.
Well, gosh, the season for archery and crossbow deer hunting opens next Saturday, the 12th of September. That's about the earliest I've seen it in. Maybe it's the earliest it could possibly be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the earliest ones I've ever seen, for sure. Kind of a neat thing to be a part of, and unfortunately I probably won't get to hunt, but that's okay.
Because you've got a Montana trip coming up, right?
Yeah, I'll be getting ready to go to Montana, and then I'll be here in the shop as well for the opener.
So you'll be there if people come in with problems or great stories and photos.
I'm really hoping we come in with lots of great stories and photos, but definitely we'll have some heartaches as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll get to the heartaches in a bit, but let's talk about deer. September 12th, that's awful early. Do you think some bucks will still be in velvet?
It's definitely possible that they could be. You know, in recent history, usually about the end of the first week here, so coming up, you know, this coming weekend is about the time when a lot of them will shed. From pictures that I've been seeing here as of late, I would say probably around a third of the bucks are shed already.
Hmm.
And some of them are drying down, but we've seen quite a few that are still not dried down much or still looking pretty vibrant on that velvet. There's always a possibility.
Yeah, okay. And when they are shedding, some of them, they look pretty ugly. You got those raggy-looking shreds of bloody velvet hanging down from the antlers.
Yeah, it's definitely a different sight. Sometimes it can make them look awfully big, too.
But, yeah, I hadn't thought of
that. A lot of them, it's pretty crazy how quick they can shed, too. You know, it doesn't take them very long, just a few minutes, half hour, somewhere in there, and they're pretty much rubbed clean. At least a lot of the deer anyway, and it's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, I have not witnessed one actually trying to scrape the velvet off its antlers. Have you seen that in real life?
I've seen them kind of finishing. I've never actually got to watch one fully do it, but seen one kind of clean a little bit of what was left off. It's pretty funny watching them, just how vigorous they are when they're beating on stuff and trying to get that off.
You wonder if they can feel it. They certainly can't see it unless it's hanging down in front of their eyes.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, never really quite sure what it is that triggers that exactly, but I would have to imagine that it starts to itch in some capacity, at least when it first starts drying down. So it's either that or, you know, they get just that right amount of testosterone in them and they're ready to clean them up.
Yeah, okay. And it's a blood supply that dries up, and so now the velvet is not living anymore, right?
Correct. And some of them will shed early enough where you get the real red horns.
Yeah.
You know, where they still have a fair amount of blood in there, but a lot of them will be pretty cleaned up by then. You might get a little bit of that tainted color, and most of them will be white very, very quickly.
Okay. Well, something to look for when you're bow hunting next weekend. So last-minute preps. We've been talking about this all summer here, but what should we be doing or making sure we've got done if we haven't already done it?
As far as the bows or crossbows go, I mean, I would say definitely if you haven't done it, still would be time to take a practice shot or two with a broadhead just to make sure that they're hitting the same or very, very close to your field tips. Ultimately, we want them hitting the same, but that would be one of the major things there. Just double check, make sure everything looks like it's in good shape. There's no fraying, you know, on strings or cables. Even spin arrows, make sure that those broadheads are lining up really well with the shaft. So those would be the, you know, some of the major things on the bow end. As far as other stuff goes, you know, there's actually still time if a guy's not real worried about it. You know, I mean, you can still put in a few food plots. You know, usually wheat and rye this time of year, still plenty of time there if you had one that failed. And then water holes, you can always put those in at any time.
Uh-huh. And those will be useful probably as soon as deer discover them, but we're talking late September, October, into the rut, right?
Yeah, right now we're still getting enough moisture, I think, at least in our area. Not necessarily rain, but just a lot of dew, heavy dew. So the water holes have been pretty quiet yet, but I would imagine as soon as we start getting closer and closer to the rut and those deer are moving buck-wise a little bit more, things will be a little drier and definitely should really heat up on the water.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned practice shooting. I wonder how many people practice from an elevated stand, whether they shoot off their deck or, I don't know, back of a pickup or something, just to get them up off the ground.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, that I've run across that do, especially the 3D shoots and stuff, a lot of times they'll have some elevated platforms or they'll actually have, you know, enough topography on the landscape that they can use that to shoot up and downhill. But otherwise, you know, I know a lot of guys that actually shoot off their roof.
Okay.
If it's not there, so that works pretty well.
Yeah, just don't fall off your roof. That'd be a bad thing.
Yep, absolutely.
Now back to the deer and shedding, does their behavior change about the time that they're shedding? Does that have any impact on what they're doing in a normal daily routine kind of thing?
I mean, it definitely seems like it does, right? I mean, a lot of times when they're still in velvet, they want to be out in the open a little bit more. Usually they're hitting the fields quite a bit, trying to, you know, honestly protect those antlers as much as they can. And seems like once they go hard horns, they tend to start getting more into that preservation mode where they're not out quite as early or, you know, just change their habit of where they are on the landscape somewhat. It definitely does make a difference.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, and let's say next weekend I'm out there and something goes wrong with my bow. Can I get a quick turnaround on a repair?
Yeah, I mean, everything is still going real quick. Right now, we're still running 2 to 3 days at the max for the most part, unless we had to order parts. So, and even then, we're still looking at a week to week and a half at the most. So definitely would be up and running and plenty of time to be able to get sighted back in and feel comfortable again and get out there.
Okay. All right. Well, with the weekend here, Labor Day weekend, and with opening day coming up next week, what are your store hours and when will you be open?
Store hours will run pretty much the same. So we're Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 9 to 5. But we will be closed Monday, Labor Day. So.
All right. And opening day, Saturday the 12th, somebody will be in the store.
We will definitely have, you know, at least two or three guys here, so.
All right. Well, we hope that people come in with photos, and I want to wish you a safe trip out to Montana, and we want to talk to you. I'm sure we will, but we want to hear about your hunt out there. What are you hunting, elk, mule deer, or both?
So I've got an elk and a mule deer tag.
Oh, okay. Enough room in your truck to bring all that meat back if it happens?
I hope so. There's actually four of us going on this one, so hopefully we come back fully loaded.
One vehicle, four guys?
Yeah, we've also got a trailer and stuff going. So. Okay.
Well, great. Well, have a great trip, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Thanks, and good luck to everybody out there, and be safe.
Absolutely. J.C. Chamberlain with the final report before the opening day of Wisconsin's archery season from Pappas Trading Post. They are located on Highway 14, just west of Arena, about a half hour west of Madison. You can also find them on the web at PappasTradingPost.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Huntworth Gear is performance camel wear at a price you can afford. You can find it at retail stores and online at huntworthgear.com. And joining me now from Dearborn, Michigan, is fellow Huntworth Pro staffer Ernie DeSantis. Ernie is the CEO of Whitetail Fix LLC and co-host of their TV show Whitetail Fix, which is airing now on Sportsman Channel. Their website, guess what? Whitetailfix.com. And you can find them on social media under that name as well. Ernie DeSantis, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and this show will air on Labor Day weekend. Our bow season opens the next weekend. How about yours there in Michigan?
Oh, wow. You guys are right around the corner. Yeah, we open up October 1st, but the youth hunt will open up basically the weekend after the Labor Day weekend. My son is young enough to go on that Michigan youth hunt.
Cool. So he'll be hunting the same weekend a lot of hunters here will be hunting.
Right. Yeah. That'll be pretty neat.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your TV show and how you got there. You and your partners all got your start with the Drury team on their show Dream Season Working Man back in, you told me, I think 2010. How did that happen?
Yeah. That was old school, man. I'm super thankful to Mark and Terry Drury. Those guys got us our start. Dream Season Working Man was basically like an open call for hunters to be on a reality show. So I put together an audition tape, if you will, of some previous hunts that we had filmed. And myself and Jose Del Otero, who also lives in Michigan, and we hunt and film a lot together. We had basically entered that submission. We had to go through a series of cuts and, you know, thanks be to God, we were selected. They saw something they liked in us, and the other guys did that as well. It was a crazy experience when you pair reality hunting and competition all in one. It was like nothing I experienced in my life.
Yeah. Well, and that got you started, but you were already filming hunts at that time, right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I had started something called DeSantis Hunting, and it was my own production company before Dream Season. So I had started that in 05 and really started filming hard in 05. So I had about 5 years of filming under my belt and had put together a small pro staff. And again, my buddy Jose Del Otero, him and I had done a lot with DeSantis Hunting and kind of brought all of that footage that was in the can through that audition tape.
Yeah, so they knew that you knew what you were doing and you had a track record, so to speak, already.
They did, and that was one of the caveats. You had to have a harvest on film, and it had to be of good quality, and you had to be able to not just have the harvest, but it's really about telling the story, much like you tell the story on radio. You know, when you tell the story of the hunt, it's just so much more than harvesting the animal. Anybody who hunts knows there's so much more than pulling the trigger. There's so much more than hitting that release. And we want to showcase that. And that has been our driving force when we put together the episode. But going back to Dream Season, yeah, it was pretty, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, well, let's talk about your show, Whitetail Fix. It's now in, what, its 14th season?
Season 14 is airing right now.
Yeah, and you've got six guys all hunting big bucks. How do you record it? Who shoots and edits your stuff? Do you go along with each other, or do you have separate shooters?
Yeah, sometimes we film together. You know, we'll film, you know, each other. But oftentimes we'll film with family members or we'll film with friends. And then sometimes it gets real tricky and you got to go on a solo hunt. And that's when, if something can go wrong, it typically will go wrong. And you may have heard the expression before, but a camera has saved so many bucks and so many animals because there's typically something that can go wrong with that camera. But yeah, that's how we do it. Now I do a lot of that with my family, my wife, Stacy, my son, Valentino, and my daughter, Vincia. We do a lot of hunting, getting in that bank spine and just having some good laughs, but a lot of filming.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that you bring your family into it, and especially your wife, because not a lot of women are hunting, although that is the fastest growing segment of the hunting population. And as we all know, those of us who are doing this, if the wife or the single mom hunts, then it's more likely the kids will hunt as well.
Oh, I 100% agree with you, Dan. It's so important. Hunter recruitment isn't what it used to be, and I'll just say it right now. We got to get off the screens. We got to get off the LCDs. We got to get out into God's creation to really see things in 4K, if you will, with our own eyes, and to really experience things that you cannot experience through AI or through a screen or anything like that. And I was brought into this by my dad and my uncle and my grandfather. Thanks be to God for them, because had that not happened, so much of my life revolves around the outdoors. By the grace of God, God created all this great land and animals to experience it. So I am really just super grateful for that.
I think a lot of us would agree with you that it was family that got us into it, and fortunately we keep going. Well, there are so many hunting shows. Many with the same sponsors, and some of our sponsors are the same, Huntworth Gear, Wildlife Research Center, Vortex, and others. What makes your show different from others? What makes it stand out?
Yeah, I kind of touched on it earlier, but it truly is about slowing down what happens before the hunt. How did we get to this point where you're drawing down on a buck? How did we get to this point where you're setting up in the blind, getting ready to take the shot? Because we know that that shot is such a small part of the hunt. It's the preparation. It's the mindset. It's the ups, the downs, the trials, the tribulations, the joys, the successes. So what makes ours, I think, unique is that we showcase all of that. You see the story from front to finish. And it's documented in a way that will pique your interest, and it's got something for everyone. Sprinkled in are these reality questions that kind of bring, oftentimes, somebody, a significant other, will be watching the show. They might not hunt, but they're watching a show with someone that does hunt. All our reality questions will get you locked into it, because our producer loves to keep us on our toes. So you take that, pair it with what we do with food plots and the camaraderie, and not just showcasing the joys, but also those trials and tribulations, and what do we learn from this, and how do we carry it forward?
Got it. Okay. You are in the middle of this season now. What is coming up? What can people look forward to in the next few weeks?
Oh, man, just some really good, rich episodes regarding deer hunting. It's that time of year. Back in the day, I would be so excited for deer season. I swear it would start in July. I'd go to the like Blockbuster Video or these small video rental places, and I would rent any video I could find on hunting. Dan Fitzgerald comes to mind. All of those videos, I used to watch those inside and out, and it just gets me pumped up. It's our hope, God willing, that when our audience watches our episodes, they can relate to us. They get pumped up. They learn something. It's not just us in front of the camera. It's us reaching out to our audience saying, hey, try this. Or, hey, don't make that same mistake that I made, because we are not too proud to showcase our mistakes. If you've seen me in any of my episodes, you will know that I am certainly not too proud to show you when I mess up, because that's how we learn.
Yeah, we certainly do, and bloopers make for good video as well. And if you can't yeah. laugh at yourself, or, you know, take yourself with a grain of salt, sometimes maybe you're too serious.
Sure. Agreed.
When we do hunting shows for TV, most of the time we're shooting a year ahead. What are you shooting this year for next season?
John Day and Mike Marsteller, a couple of co-hosts on the show, they're actually in Alaska right now filming a moose hunt, which is pretty amazing. They're on two separate moose hunts, so that's going to be a couple big episodes next season. And right now, what we are currently filming on our side before hunting comes in, it's really food plot finishes.
Now, like me, you're a Huntworth pro staffer. What do you like about Huntworth, and which patterns do you like?
The first thing that comes to mind about Huntworth is comfort. It's comfortable. It's quiet. My absolute favorite pattern is the Disruption. They've got a couple camo patterns, but Disruption's my favorite. It's more of a digital pattern.
Yeah.
You've got the Tarnin pattern and then the new Vertec pattern. I like all those, but man, I am a huge fan of the way that that just distorts your shape while in a tree or out in the timber or out the grass. So. Love it. Love the heat boost technology. Man, that graphene that's in there, you can have all that warmth, but none of the bulk. So drawing back a bow or lifting up the crossbow, or if you're in a blind or up in a tree stand, it is so great, and it doesn't break the bank. You can literally buy three suits compared to one suit from maybe somebody else, and it is just great stuff.
Yep, my son and I wear the heat boost. He is a very avid bow hunter like you, and he hunts the late season too, and he says sometimes that stuff is so warm, I can't wear it, which is a nice problem to have. You know?
Yeah, you got to open it up. And I'm telling you, if you've never put on their base layers, man, their base layers are so comfortable against the skin. I don't know if you've ever put on a different base layer before, and it just caused irritation and itch. You know, things like that. It's just so smooth up against your skin. They've got something for anything that you need. I love vests. So they have like an Elkins midweight windproof vest.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if your core is warm, everything else is warm.
And yep.
They just have a myriad of items that have been just such a game changer for us.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah, you mentioned itchy. I think you were referring to that red wool Long John underwear that our grandfathers used to wear.
Yeah, listen, that is a fact, because that's what I grew up on, because I got hand-me-downs from my grandpa, and I got hand-me-downs from my dad, and I got hand-me-downs from my uncle.
Sure.
And that was what they wore. I thought, man, this is how it's going to be, huh?
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you more, but we've run out of time for this week. Will you join us again next time and talk a little more about what's going on in Michigan and some of the specific things you do on your show, Whitetail Fix?
Oh, man, I'd love to. It's been a pleasure. I'd absolutely love to come back.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with Ernie DeSantis. He is CEO of Whitetail Fix, LLC. He's the co-host of Whitetail Fix, their TV show, which airs on Sportsman Channel. You can catch it now. Check out the schedule on the Sportsman Channel website. Their website is whitetailfix.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Step outside. Let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
There are lakes across Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and beyond that are loaded with fish. And nobody's talking about them. Onyx Fish helps you find them. Search by species, filter for big walleye, trophy panfish, or eater crappie. Check satellite imagery, depth maps, and public access points, all before you leave the house. And now, Onyx Fish is available on Android for the first time. iPhone, Android, doesn't matter. Just download it and start planning. 7-day free trial, then just $35 a year. Onyx Fish. Find new lakes, get there with confidence.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Last weekend, the 50th annual World Muskie Hunt was held in Lake Tomahawk. I had a chance to talk with World Muskie Hunt President John Farrell. His mom, the late former Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrell, was very active in the World Muskie Hunt, as you'll hear. Here's our conversation. When did you get started personally with the hunt?
1994.
As a contestant?
As a contestant. On a team with my brother Peter, my brother Paul. And yes. But my mom was the one who got us in She was in on the Gals in Government team in 92.
Okay. Talk about your family's relationship to the hunt. What does it mean to you, to the family?
We love muskie fishing, so my grandparents have been coming up here to the Minocqua or Lake Tomahawk area specifically. My grandfather since the late 20s, and then my grandmother, and then they built a cabin on a lake up here in 47, and so we've been coming up here since I was born, and that's been quite a while. And they muskie fished all the time. And my grandfather always teased because he would say that your grandmother caught more muskies than I did because he had to row the boat.
Sure. Which
and
is what
she,
people.
Yeah. That's what you had to do back then.
Yeah.
They had Pfluger Supreme bait casters and grandma and Emma would use a pikey minnow all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was her bait.
And they caught fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you involved in the hunt? I mean, you could come up here and fish for muskies and, you know, do it yourself like so many people do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your mom who got you into the hunt.
Yeah, mom got us into the hunt at that point. And then it's the experience. I think you're talking with other people that have a like. So even though you come from very diverse backgrounds, you all have a common hobby, let's say, or interest. And that's what is kind of unique about this. Is you have so many different people, you know, from so many different backgrounds, but muskie fishing has brought all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to do that, and that's why, and I think it's a unique club, whatever, but.
Mm-hmm. I would loosely use the word family. I mean, your family was involved, but this.
And there's a lot of families that are involved, too. I mean, a lot of, and coming up. I mean, we've got a lot of people that have come in and everything, and brought other family members with.
But doesn't the hunt itself feel like a family?
Oh yeah, very much so. You see a lot of the same people year after year, and you keep adding to the family with the new contestants. So even though not all of them may come back from 21 new contestants every year, you still have a core group that comes back and then enjoys it year after year after year.
Has anyone who's here now been involved longer than you?
There's a few people. Yeah, Larry Slagusky has been involved.
Yeah.
You know, longer than I have. Who else would have been?
Jason?
Jerry, I think, was involved, you know, and then he brought his boys in and his daughter in and everything.
Right.
Peggy was a big part of it
at that point. Yep. What's the future look like for this event?
Oh, I think it's going strong. I mean, you know, we've typically, you know, have the same number of people. I mean, our Saturday night banquet has been averaging around 100, 100, 185 people every year, you know, for the Saturday night. And it's full on breakfast in the morning and everything. And you know, so we just keep pushing forward and just keep trying to make it that social, family-centered type event. It's not a muskie tournament, and that's, I think, what people enjoy about it, is it's not cutthroat, you know, I'm on the professional muskie tour, and I've got to do this and pre-fish this, and it's like, no. The other uniqueness about it is with the guide aspect, because the guides are donating their time, talent, equipment, and everything, you know, like you know, just to make sure that the past hunters and the contestants are introduced and have a good time and enjoy the times they're out here.
What does it mean to the community?
It means a lot to the community. Originally, we're centered in Minocqua with Bozacki's Boathouse, and then, you know, Harlan sold that. But what we were running into a problem with is, as we grew, there aren't a lot of venues up here that can hold almost 200 people for a sit-down dinner. And that was where we kind of came into Lake Tomahawk with their community center and everything. And again, it's not that far away. And a lot of us are from Lake Tomahawk, or have, have either the cottages here or relatives that lived here and everything. And the town itself, I mean, we work very well with, you know, the town government and all of the businesses that are in town and everything. I mean, we have rod sponsorships, which are basically from a lot of the businesses within town. And even, you know, when you come in to the event, the town is putting up the signs that say World Muskie Hunt this way, and kind of helping people find the community center. I think the other big thing is that it's nice to be in a small community rather than, oh, I'm in downtown Minocqua. Okay. Well, now you've got 50 plus past hunters that usually have to park somewhere. And where do you find enough parking for that? That was one of the things we had to overcome at Pizzacchi's, because you didn't want to block off their parking lot the whole time. You know, when you were off fishing, they're still running a business. So here it's just using the community center, and Sharon, our town clerk, she has it marked off every year and takes care of us very well. And the nice thing then is that we do donate back to the community.
Right.
So we donate to the parks department here and everything, and that helps pay for, you know, some of the things, like they have a camera at the landing, so you can actually get onto the town government website and you can see the Lake Tomahawk boat landing. Check out, hey, is the weather good? Is, do I want to go down there today or not, or whatever? And so there's a lot of that that goes on.
What else do you help fund?
We donate to Joe Fattani's Kids for Cancer that he does at the beginning of August. We do a scholarship. We do have a separate scholarship fund for Lakeland Union High School in Minocqua.
Okay.
And depending upon how much money we raise, we typically give away, you know, at least two, hopefully three $1,000 scholarships to graduates that are especially going to UW-Stevens Point, that are going to go into fisheries or water sciences.
Okay.
And that's typically what we do. That's the local tie-in, because as a club, we are also part of the Muskie Clubs Alliance program that now has the endowment fund at UW-Stevens Point that helps the graduate students.
So the hunt is a member of the alliance?
Yes.
Okay. How can one participate in the hunt for the first time?
Best thing to do is probably check out our website, worldmuskiehunt.org. If you wanted to put a team in or whatever, you basically challenge what we call challenge the hunt, and you fill out why you think it would be a good fit. Typically each year we have seven teams of three members each. Some of the teams are preset, like we have a Triggs military team, and then we have the muskie shop team for first responders. We also have the Quick Trip team for their company. Out of the seven teams, we have like three or four that are probably reserved at this
perennial.
Point. Yeah, the perennial type teams. But yeah, you can go on the website, look up that information. It's also got the scrapbooks and includes the history, and you can see pictures from past events and see, you know, we have all the list of the number of fish that are caught and, you know, the separate categories for past hunters and the current contestants.
What does the hunt do for the local fishery?
We sometimes do donate to Art Enke Fish Hatchery, which is right over here in Woodruff. We try to give them a donation for something that could be used in accordance with muskie fishing. We've talked to the local biologists because, you know, when you're running a tournament, oh, what are the rules for this or that? And because we're not giving away like a $10,000 cash prize, You're here for the fun. Everybody gets a plaque, say, hey, we're a winner at the muskie hunt of this year. The winning team, so that's a team that the three people collectively get the most inches of fish over Friday and Saturday, they will also get like a rod and a reel as yeah. like a grand prize for them. But because it doesn't meet the prize giveaway type thing, we don't have to submit for tournament things. And we fish everywhere, you know, within Vilas and Oneida County, basically. Yeah. So the pass hunters can go off to any lake. We have the contestants fish on the Minocqua chain, so Lake Tomahawk, Mid, Quagga Saga, Minocqua, because that was where the hunt originally started. You were fishing that chain all the time.
Yep.
And as we got more and more people, it got pretty crowded out there for 2 days. And so that's when we said, hey, if a guide wants to go to another lake and they know another lake that might turn on during that time, we're here for the enjoyment of the people and the fun of the sport.
That was my conversation with World Muskie Hunt President John Farrell, recorded last weekend in Lake Tomahawk. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats at crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. Crestliner has rebates going on, and Cedar Lake Sales has a big clearance sale now on 2026 model boats. and I got to make room for 2027. Be here before we know it. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance, available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers and at huntworthgear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, Green Bay, and now Wapaka, profhearingcare.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special from the past several years is archived on YouTube at Deer Hunt Wisconsin.
And if you missed anything on the show, you can go back and listen to the show anytime. Go to lake-link.com. Go to the Outdoor Radio page. It's there for you to download. You can also go to outdoornews.com/podcasts and find it there. Dan is on social media. Follow him at Dan Small Outdoors. Follow me at Hardwater Jeff.
There are a number of events coming up in the next couple of weeks. We mentioned most of them on last weekend's show. So you can always go back and check the podcast, as Jeff mentioned, and catch those mentioned at the end of the show. I will tell you this, though. Lost in the Woods Improv are hosting an improv immersion experience next Saturday the 12th from 12:30 noon to 2 p.m. at Wild Rice Retreat in Bayfield. It's free and open to all, and they suggest a donation of $10 because that's how they keep going, to buy their equipment and to pay for their mileage going here and there around the state. You can learn the basics of improv comedy in a supportive environment. And as you probably know, my son and our Northwoods correspondent, John Small, is one of the regulars at Lost in the Woods. You can find details at Lost in the Woods Improv. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. We've been getting outside. Now you get outside this weekend. Be safe out there and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.